Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to join Renata out in the comfy chairs to read, "The Missing Piece Meets the Big O." Baptism by fire. It's a saying we have in English that usually refers to a swift initiation, maybe into a new job, where you really just gotta figure things out fast on the go. Earlier than that, it tended to be used in the military, referring to soldiers in the first battle that they fight in. I wouldn't say it's necessarily a bad thing, but it's certainly not a desirable thing to be baptized by fire. And that is what John promises that Jesus will do. Jesus will baptize us, the world, all of Judea, and the whole world with fire. And the Holy Spirit. The world is on fire right now. It certainly feels like it, and there is quite literally an entire continent on fire. Australian wildfires have ravaged an area about twice the size of Nova Scotia. We're told that although wildfires are common in Australia and have been common for centuries, we've been warned that climate change is making the conditions that cause fires, that's hot, dry weather, more frequent, so that fires will be more common and more severe than they have been in the past. And not just in Australia, we've experienced that here too in Alberta and BC. Smoke from wildfires cloud the sky most summers, making the time that we enjoy the warm weather, which we're really looking forward to right now, making that time a little unbearable. And we're also told that climate change is leading to more severe weather events, like the record-breaking snowfall and blizzard in Newfoundland. It's out of control. Don't know how to stop it. I cannot fathom how, as a human race, we could stop what is happening with the climate. And the worst part, or one of the worst parts, I think, is that innocents are dying. There's a webcomic that's circulating this weekend. Nigel, can you bring it up? By an artist called Bun Boy. There's a figure that appears in the flames saying, "I'm sorry. None of you deserved this." And he's carrying some marsupials, a koala, a kangaroo. And then you see him above the surface of the planet saying, "I have someone I'd like you to meet. You're in good hands." So many animals, so much wildlife in Australia has been damaged, habitat wiped out. The pictures of animal carcasses are horrific. Last week, I wasn't here, but I'm told that at Church of the Cross last week, you observed the feast day of the slaughter of the Holy Innocents, remembering all the children in Judea under two that King Herod slaughtered, trying to find baby Jesus, the child who would rival him as king of the Jews. There are lots of innocents today, too. You see the pictures of the wildlife in Australia, but scientists are also predicting that we are on the verge of the sixth mass extinction that this earth has experienced. The extinction rate of animals 1,000 times faster than what is normal. And not just animals, but also as the climate changes, people who are unable to adapt due to poverty, people in developing countries, but also racialized groups, subsistence farmers and fishermen cannot adapt and could very well perish in the coming decades. It feels like the world is on fire and it's out of control. When I was a child, the Canadian Wilds exhibit at the Calgary Zoo opened. I remember being allowed to climb on the rocks in that, which is a big deal because you couldn't climb on the rocks in the dinosaur exhibit. And at the end of that exhibit at the zoo, there's a area with burned trees that discusses how fires renew forests. Fires are nature's way of beginning again in our forests. I see it when I drive through down Highway 93 to Invermere, where there have been, in the last 20 years, a series of fires along that highway. And as you drive, you can see this forest in various stages of regrowth. We know that this is how nature renews itself, through fire and through floods too, but it takes decades. And that is how God works. God takes those disasters like fires and floods and brings new life out of the rubble. Our Bible, the Genesis, tells us that that is what God did when God delivered Noah and his family from the flood. God took the rubble and renewed creation through that flood. But it takes decades to recover. 30 years, about 3 decades after the slaughter of the holy innocents, John comes baptizing with water in the Jordan River, calling people to repentance. I like to think that he was maybe like a Greta Thunberg, telling off the authorities, telling everyone who is complacent that it was time to repent, time to turn to a new ways, time to find a different way to live. And John predicts that another will come who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John's baptism, despite his harsh words, seems pretty gentle compared to a baptism by fire. Even a full immersion baptism seems a lot more gentle than a baptism by fire. We think of the pastor gently pouring water on a newborn's head. Three times, and marking them with the cross of Christ. In other traditions, baptism is by immersion. I have a friend in seminary who grew up in another tradition, and she was baptized in a public swimming pool, fully immersion. But Luther reminds us that baptism isn't just a gentle washing. It certainly is a washing, but it's also a drowning. Death to the old Adam, Luther calls it. And it's not an instant process. It's not something that parents take their children to once as infants, and it's done. Luther reminds us that it is daily drowning, daily killing the old and renewing, being reborn in Christ. The process of baptism takes decades in our lives, our whole lives, in fact. Just like the renewal of creation. And John, even though he is a prophet, even though he himself is calling people to repentance, he knows that he is not worthy. He knows that his baptism is not yet complete. He recognizes Jesus as the one who will come, the one who he says he is not worthy to carry his sandals. So when Jesus comes to him and says, wants to be baptized, he says, I need to be baptized by you. My baptism is not yet complete, but you come to me. And Jesus' response fascinates me. He says, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." I had to unpack that. Let it be so now, but temporary. Let's do this for now, for it is proper, right, good, I guess, for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. The Gospel of Matthew, like, frequently uses the phrase, this was to fulfill what was written in the prophets, and then quotes the prophet. And it is not to say that the prophet had centuries earlier predicted what would happen. But Jesus' life adds meaning and furthers what the prophet had said to be true in the prophet's own time. Adds meaning to it. Bring it to a fuller meaning. So for John and Jesus to fulfill all righteousness means to bring to fullness righteousness. Righteousness be to be right, to be as God, to make things right, to make things as God intended, to reconcile creation to God. Even though John is not fully reconciled to God, John's baptism was not complete. God invites John to take part in Jesus' baptism. There are other, God invites people to take part in God's action. In this past year and a half even, the listening team listened to see here where God was inviting us as a congregation to take part in God's action in the world, in our community. We began by listening to God in Scripture, particularly in Acts, where we studied passages where God would invite apostles to go to cross boundaries to speak to Gentiles. And then God would take some action inviting the Gentiles into God's family, they would end in baptism. The second lesson today was from Acts. It was Peter speaking to the Roman centurion Cornelius. And the lesson cuts off just before, as Peter is speaking, he is interrupted by the Holy Spirit coming on Cornelius and his house. And Peter sees that and recognizes that God is acting. God has baptized Cornelius. And so Peter consents to take part in that and baptizes them with water as well, so that they are baptized by the Holy Spirit and with water. Acts also tells the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip is traveling through the wilderness and encounters a Ethiopian, a court official from Ethiopia. And they discuss the Holy Scriptures, and then the Ethiopian says, "Look, there's some water in the wilderness. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" And Philip takes that as his invitation to baptize this Gentile, to bring him in to God's family to further the gospel. There are other invitations throughout the Bible. God invites Noah to build an ark, to take part in God's deliverance of Noah's family and the animals so that they can survive and renew creation after the flood. God invites Abraham and his descendants to become a nation that, through their trust in God, by allowing God to be their God, their only God, God will bless the whole world through Abraham and his descendants, and God continues to bless the world through Abraham's descendants. There is Moses, who God invites to deliver Israel from oppression in Egypt. And Jesus, after being baptized, begins his ministry by inviting fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, to become fishers of men, or fishers of people, I should say. God continues to work this way. During the listening process, a team here focused intently on developing the muscle to listen to what God is doing in the community and to respond to God's invitation. And we continue to do that. As a community and as individuals, I ask you to think about what God is inviting you to do in this coming year. As this card says, God is inviting you to go make a difference. Leading up to the AGM next week, a few weeks from now, I invite you to think about how God is asking you, inviting you to go make a difference in this building and outside in the community. Maybe that looks like volunteering to be on council or leading in some other way, teaching or reaching out to the community. And when we consent to taking part in God's action in the world, as John does. Another part of that exchange between Jesus and John that I love is that it says John consented, so Jesus was baptized. So what could happen when we consent to God's action in our lives, to God's invitation to join in God's action in our communities? For Peter and Cornelius, it was a sign that, or for Peter and Philip, it was a sign, there was a sign that the Holy Spirit would baptize an outsider. For Abraham, it was the promise and the fulfillment of that promise that Abraham would have descendants and land. In creation, we see growth, new life. For John and Jesus at the Jordan, the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus. And God says, God seals John's action, saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." You might say, well pleased, God says, this is good. God claims it as good, very good. She says, God in creation, when God spoke to create the world, God says at the end of each day, it was good. And finally, when all of creation is made, including humans, God says, this is very good. God takes disasters. God uses floods and fires to baptize creation, to renew creation, to bring about something good. And in our own lives, God baptizes us daily, drowning the old and renewing us. We have the font stuck in the center of the sanctuary where you bump into it so that you can remember your baptism as you come up for communion or as you enter the sanctuary and go to your seat. We keep it filled with water so that you can splash and mark the sign of the cross on your forehead as you go by. So I invite you to stand now as we give thanks for that baptism, as we give thanks for God's renewing action in the world, and for God's invitation to participate in that action. Please rise and turn towards the font. And Hillary, this is easier if I have an assistant to pour the water. Nice and high, splashing is good. We have been joined to Christ in the waters of baptism. We are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight and called very good. Through the waters of the flood, you renewed creation and delivered Noah and his family and the animals. Through the river, you delivered Moses as an infant, and decades later invited him to join your saving work. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. And at the river, your son invited John to baptize him. And you claimed that by anointing him with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs in your promise, and inviting us to join in your renewing work. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit, and renew our lives and your whole creation with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. During this